It's always a pleasure to me and a privilege to introduce my good friend Jim Wilson here. He needs little introduction to many of you, of course, for many reasons, because he has done so many things, engaged in so many projects and excellences in his life. And this tonight is another occasion to share yet another excellence. Actually, two forms of excellence, both because he's got his music there. He's got his flute here, and recorder, I should say. And he will be both reading and playing, I do believe. So please join me in welcoming back Jim Wilson.
Thank you for coming tonight. tonight I'm going to be reading from this collection of my poems called Hiking the Quatrain Range. And most of the poems in this book are strongly influenced by the tradition of Chinese poetry, specifically Chinese quatrains. Like, it's interesting that all over the world you find quatrains, and in different cultures. There's a great quatrain tradition in Iran called Rubai, you know, hence the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. I have that over there because that's one of the most influential set of quatrains on the West, interestingly enough. You know. And the Chinese tradition has a great and many, many, many centuries old tradition of quatrains. It actually goes back all the way to Confucius and his collection, the Book of Songs. So as I was studying this tradition of the word quatrain in English prosody can mean two things. It can mean a four-line poem, or it can mean a poem that has stanzas of four lines. So like Robert Frost's Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, that's a set of four quatrains. Like, and incidentally, he follows the Rubai rhyme scheme in that poem. But I'm using it as a four-line poem, just a four-line poem, so as opposed to a series of four-line stanzas. And as I was studying East Asian prosody, what I learned was that in China, particularly during the Tang Dynasty, which I think was 800 to 1200 or 1300, something like that, they would teach these forms through rhythms. So one of the forms has seven syllables per line. So each line would be seven syllables, okay? And the rhythm was da 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 da. That's five. Excuse me. That's another four. Da 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 da. And that's how people learned the form. You know, like, there's another form which is five lines. You know, da 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 da. So, and then they would take these poems and they would sing them at inns. So they would put a melody to that rhythm. And that clicked for me. And I had this experience where a melody would arise in my mind based on that rhythm, and then the poem would appear. Oh. That's how it worked. That's how my quatrain poems appeared. The rhythm or the melody would come first. So here's an example of the kind of melody I'm talking about. As the day draws us to an end, as the month comes to a close, I turn to look at a vase, blue and gold, with one white rose. Mm. See, that's the... Do you want to sing it with me? Want to give it a try?
Sure.
Why? La da 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 la da 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 hoo hoo do 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 la da 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 da. So that's kind of the, I want people to understand the background, you know, when I read these. This book contains quatrains in different forms. You know, they're not all exactly the same style. But I want to start out with that seven-syllable quatrain form. And what I do is the four-line poem would come, I would write it down, I would accumulate an awful lot of them, like, you know, boxes. And then... and then I would create what I call a poetic collage, you know, or a sequence, you know, putting them together, you know, like. And this sequence is called The Gift, and it is, I'm not going to read the whole sequence because it would take too long, but I'm going to read highlights from the sequence. Okay. So this one is called Summer Night. Under the tent of the sky, under the light of the moon, a warm wind blows the curtains in the empty living room. Sunrise as the day begins. Silence permeates the house, alone with a cup of tea, at peace, nothing to espouse. Warmth from the sun at midday, wave after wave from the sea, sand in the wind and salt spray, weather-shaped cliffs of beauty. I wrote that at Go Rock Beach. Sunlight on the parking lot. As the leaves scatter and fall, I think about yesterday's, friends whose names I can't recall. Winter rain and the thunder, summer skies and the full moon, standing here filled with wonder for this life that ends so soon. Roses on the corner fence, the first I have seen this spring, touch the eyes like fine incense, an unexpected blessing. And this is a memory of when I studied in Korea and I visited a mountain temple. So this is called When I Visited a Mountain Temple in Korea. Shadows on the valley floor appear with the rising sun. Pine trees cling to the steep slopes. Over boulders, the stream runs. And this one was written at Armstrong Woods. Redwood trees are very tall, reaching up into the sky. Then they stand there patiently, watching you and I pass by. When I face the Milky Way on a clear and cloudless night, then my sorrows seem to fade, vanished into points of light. This one is called History Lesson. People want to make their mark on the story of mankind. Desert dunes and shifting sands cover everything in time. Lao Tzu is a Taoist sage. He's not read nearly as much as Lao Tzu or Chuang Tzu, but I have a great fondness for him because there's an episode in Lao Tzu where the sage, his teacher, gets kind of angry at him and tells him to go home and learn how to cook, you know, like, and chop wood and do stuff like that. So I wrote, this one is called For Lietze. It is sufficient, complete, to live a life that's simple, to cook one's food, have a job, to make one's home a temple. This one's called Karma. There are things that I regret, things that I should not have done. Life's complicated, and yet actions on their course must run. There are some things I have done that have not been for the best. At the time, they seemed easy. In the end, they caused distress. Fossils from a mountaintop, signs of life from ages past, the first gift you gave to me when I thought our love would last. This was written when someone asked me a question and I had an answer, but I knew they wouldn't like it. There isn't much that I know. You should question someone else. Someone who knows quite a lot, where doubt's touch has not been felt. Sometimes I can remember something happened long ago, but I do not pursue it. Spring wind melts the winter snow. Old age has come upon me, just like a thief in the night. I did not see it coming, involved in the world's delights. There is wisdom in old age. It is the wisdom of dusk. After the harvest is through, on the ground, discarded husks. When I reach the other side of this journey we call life, I don't know what I will find. Does a drop know of the tide? I do not mind not knowing regarding ultimate things, or the fate of all mankind, or why the robin sings. There's a path beneath my feet. It is flowing like a stream. Though I trust its twists and turns, where it's going can't be seen. There is not much that I need, a strong roof over my head, a few books for me to read, at night, blankets on the bed. All meetings end in parting, this is the way of the world. Thank you for the time we had. It was a gift, a rare pearl. Any questions or comments?
No, I didn't expect rhyming to happen. I don't know. Yeah.
Chinese poetry is rhymed. It's what they call syllabic rhymed verse. English poetry, the vast majority of it, almost all of it until the 20th century, was metrical verse. So Robert Frost is a very good example. You know, whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. You know, like, it's, so that's iambic, what's called iambic tetrameter. You know, like, and, but in those countries like China and France are two examples, they don't count pulses. You know, what they do is they just count the syllables. Right. So the form I mimicked was seven syllables per line, and the rhyme scheme is A, B, C, B. I did try other rhyme schemes as well. Sometimes the poem wanted to go another way. You know, like, the effect of having A, B, C, B is the last word of the quatrain is the rhymer. And it's a very strong cadence. There's a very strong feeling of sonic closure when you do that. The first three lines don't rhyme. the last line rhymes with the second line. And it's very interesting to me as a poet working with forms from another language, because you have some things map onto, you know, like from Chinese to English, some things you can do, you know, like the rhyme scheme, you can map onto it from Chinese to English. And but there are other things that you can't do it, like tonal placement is part of traditional Chinese poetry. So Chinese language uses tones, so the same word, like you could have ma, ma, you know, and those would be two different words because they're expressed on two different tones. And they actually have rules for placing tones in a poem, you know, like, and so we're not, you know, English is not tonal, you know, like, so you don't have, you didn't have the possibility of, I could not figure out a means of mimicking that in any sense in the English, so I didn't, you know, like, now, there's an interesting poet by the name of Robin Skelton. I think he died in the 1990s, late 1990s. He was British by birth, but he lived most of his life in Canada. And he loved searching through the world for poetic forms and then trying to map them onto English. He really resonates with me. I didn't know about him at the time that I was doing this, but I learned about him subsequently. And he did a very interesting, trying to find it now. So here's his rules he developed. This is the seven line one that I was just doing. He said, here's how he did it. Each line is composed of monosyllabic words. And there's a caesura after the fourth word in each. That is a pause. The caesura is a pause. So it's one, two, three, four, one, two, three, like that. And there is a caesura after the fourth word in each line. So the example he gives, which he wrote, in the rock pool, a blue sky, pins a white cloud on a shell, or does a shell trap the cloud? Am I the tongue or the bell? So that is the reason he required monosyllabic is one of the funniest words in the English language. Do you get the joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get a kick out of that word. Polysyllabic works. Okay, so I'm gonna use one count words. You know, like Chinese is a language of one count words. They have nothing is inflected, nothing is declined. You know, like it is, meaning is all done by word order and particle indicators of meaning. And so he adopted the one syllable requirement when he wrote his versions in English. So as the day draws to an end, as the month comes to a close, I turn to look at a vase blue and gold with one white rose. That's an example. Single syllables, four lines. But that was fortuitous. I didn't have that in mind. I mean, I know that Chinese is a one-count language, you know, like all the words, one count. So that one I wrote about, fossils from a mountaintop. Signs of life from ages past, the first gift you gave to me when I thought our love would last. So fossils is two syllable word, mountains, you know, like. So what interests me about this is Skelton focused on the one count feature of the language and mapped it onto English, and you can do it, you know, like, I mean, it's possible. He did one, I've done a number, you know, like. And when I did it, I ignored that feature of the Chinese original because I didn't want to cut off words like fossils or mountain, you know, like. And so it depends very much on the individual person's interest and their focus, you know, like what will come through from one language context to another. But I love the Chinese tradition of quatrain poetry. It's just an incredibly rich tradition as well. And this collection is called Winter Dawn. The line at Starbucks Cafe waits patiently for caffeine. It comes in various forms, coffee or tea, black or green. This one is my homage to Emily Dickinson. She has had a huge influence. A lot of her poems use that rhyme scheme, the ABCB. Many of them use that same rhyme scheme, though she was influenced by hymnody. The world is not conclusion. That is what the poet said. The cosmos, like a stream, flows like a feather in the wind. That first line is a quote from one of her poems. The world is not conclusion. It's the opening line of one of her poems. I think it's a great line. The world is not conclusion. Dusk is falling on the ground while summer draws to a close. How many days I have left isn't something I can know. In the late afternoon heat at the end of September, summer has briefly returned, regrets that I remember. This is another Russian River poem. The rain's falling all day long here on the Russian River. The sky slowly turns to night. Mists make the trees look darker. Moonlight on the parking lot, after seeing a movie, leads me to forget the plot, immersed in awesome beauty. The day after the full moon, there's not a cloud in the sky. The sun is slowly setting. The October air is dry. It rained earlier today. Now there is a cooling breeze. The streams of Mars have vanished. Sometimes there are memories. Sunrise and November mist. A horse grazes on the field. Memories of friends I miss. Deep within my heart, they're sealed. One morning I live in a rural part of the county. I often take a morning walk, and there was a palomino in the field just as the sun came up, and the mist kind of parted, and the sun shone on the palomino. It was really, in my mind, I wanted my friends to see this. That's where that poem came from. Sunlight on the bare branches, blackbirds in the parking lot. A child sits upon the ground, homeless, count the change they've got. That was up at the shopping center past the hardware store. I can't remember though. The janitor is finished, cleaning up after others. As the dawn dissolves the night, he disappears from our sight. Cold rain's falling all night long, a few weeks before Christmas. There's some room at the shelter for the poor who've been dismissed. I no longer watch the news, which means I am out of touch with the latest point of view. I don't miss it very much. The sound of the morning rain, as the year ends, I falter, recalling friends who have died, pine incense on the altar. Waves roll in from the ocean. How long will the ocean last? How long will clouds grace the sky? Endlessness is hard to grasp. This one is called Equanimity. Old age means that I'm leaving. I'm leaving the world behind. The path into the future is something others will find. Contemplating the night sky and the cycles of the moon, there are seasons of the mind. The night flowers briefly bloom. This one is called Exegesis. I'm tired of arguing on the meaning of a word. The din of disputation masks the song which should be heard. Theologies are systems of thoughts that are human-made. They are insignificant. Unlike God, they will soon fade. Flowers make me think a lot about the blossoms of time. How even days of beauty will soon vanish are not mine. Turning towards eternity, everything else fades away like mist dispersed at sunrise for a friend who left today. There's nothing esoteric, nothing hidden or withheld. God's presence is like music, a song that the heart knows well. At night there are many stars scattered across the heavens. At such times I am amazed that beauty's freely given. Melodies fall from the clouds. Streams of stars flow through the glen. On a branch of the oak tree, there is an angel now and then. Comments or questions or observations?
Yeah, give us a little time to absorb some of that.
Okay. Okay.
It's really a lot. It's rich.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Most of the poems, maybe like 80%, seem to have a reference to nature.
Mm-hmm.
Is that coming from your interest or a tradition of the Chinese quatrain?
Both.
Uh-huh.
Both. I mean, one of the reasons I love the tradition of the Chinese quatrain is because of the way it uses nature to present, how would I call it? It will paint a landscape, but there's something behind the landscape, a kind of energy. It's also depicting a kind of energy flow. So, the Chinese quatrains helped me to see nature that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does remind me of the Japanese masters, Li Po and
Du Fu. Li Po and Du Fu.
Basho.
Basho, yeah. Li Po is Chinese.
That's right.
Okay, and Basho. Yeah. Japanese poetry is very immensely influenced by Chinese poetry.
And not the other way around.
Did I say that right?
You said it correct.
Okay, yeah. I thought I got China and Japan. No, not the other way around. The interesting thing about Japanese poetry is they never took to the quatrain form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Japan, the primary form is the tanka, you know, like, which is a five-line form, 5-7-5. 7-7. So the rhythm would be da 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 da. The grove of redwood, silent and ancient stillness, soothing and serene. I once saw a goddess there, eyes of night and starlight hair. So that would be like a melody for a tanka. They use the same kind of, they used to, not in modern times, but in ancient times, the Japanese adopted the Chinese method of teaching their forms. It's just that they use different forms, you know, like then. Japan is one of the few cultures in the world that doesn't have a quatrain heritage. It's very interesting. You know, like, but they, you know, they went in a different direction.
Yeah. Is there any relationship between a tanka and the Tibetan tanka?
No, none.
None.
None that I know of. How about that?
Okay. As far as is the book that I see over there, Tanka River, is that, would that be the Japanese form?
Yes. Yeah. That's my collection of Tanka.
I wanted to ask, does religion enter any of the influences on the quatrains? Like I'm thinking, you know, nature and Taoism.
Yeah, Taoism is a big influence on Chinese poetry. And a kind of over, cultural, like yin-yang cosmology, five-element theory. Like, if you know the key words that indicate certain kinds of energy and energy transformations, often Chinese poems are depicting those by using, you know, like dragon is yang energy, for example. You know, like turtle is yin energy. Like, so that at the time those poems were written, it was understood that people would pick up on that. It was part of the cultural milieu. You know, like. So we do not have that connection with, it's an effort for us to make those connections, but at the time those poems were written, everybody in the audience would have understood the kind of energy transformations that were being indicated. I'm going to go to another quatrain form. I have a long. I've never been attracted by poetic minimalism, or like, and I've always found it kind of clunky and a little thud-like, and I just it's not the direction that's attracted me or where I wanted to go. But I changed my mind when I came across this poet. His name is Samuel Menashe. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It might be Menashe, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he was a 20th century poet, and he was a minimalist. You know, like, this is his entire poetic collection. You know, like, his poems are really short, you know, like, and so here's an example. Pity us by the sea, on the sands, so briefly. That's it. 12 syllables. Four lines, it's a quatrain. And not only that, he uses the ABCB, you know, like a rhyme scheme. You know, like, pity us by the sea, on the sands, so briefly. There's a famous picture of him writing that poem on the sand, you know, by the ocean, you know, like. And when I read that poem, I was going, I get it. You know, like, I had always felt this kind of feeling that really, you know, very, very tiny poems like that were kind of anorexic. You know, I wanted them to say more, you know, like, but I read this and I was going, oh, you know, like, it really opened a door for me. It really, you know, he really, I just so much appreciate his work, you know, like, and I, it just made a world of difference. Here's another one. Ghost, I house in this old flat, your outpost, My Aftermath. It's really powerful. His poems, is, you know, very, very, they're very tight. I highly recommend them to people. You know, like, if you want to know how to write a really, really tight, no frills, not a single extra word, but that is also full-bodied and meaningful and packs a lot of punch, I highly recommend. You know, I learned a tremendous amount of it, and I love the fact that a lot of his poems were quatrains. And so, I'll be honest with you, I decided to see what I could do following in his footsteps. I love being influenced by people. I have no problem, you know, like, I'm the antithesis of a rugged individualist. You know, like, if I read a poet I like, I go, oh, okay, I want to try that too. So, this is called Fall Leaves Fall. So, a few clouds in the sky, morning sun, blackbirds fly. Empty chairs, a slow day, patrons leave the cafe. Summer heat, autumn stalls, the ninth month, dry leaves fall. What went wrong? I thought we would not part. A dead tree. Clouds parting for the sun, over rocks the stream runs. Morning mist, bare-limbed trees, friends become memories. Morning frost on the plum, the first blooms in the sun. Petals fall on the ground, the sun's rays at sundown. I forget about God. In this world, God seems odd. Stars at night, a clear view, ocean waves, dreams come true. So thank you. Thank you, Samuel. Once I sort of started searching for quatrains and various quatrain forms, then a lot opened up to me, you know, and I came across, you know, this guy. Not all of his poems are quatrains, but a significant number are.
And what is his name again?
Samuel. I think it's Menashe, but I'm not sure how to pronounce the M-E-N-A-S-H-E. He was a New York poet. Really, really wonderful.
You got one more?
Yeah, I do. So, traveling, you know, inspired by Robin Skelton and others, I began to learn about Welsh poetic forms. And the Welsh have a rich tradition of quatrain poetry. There's a collection of poetry. The name is not coming up to me, but it's in Old Welsh. It's actually thousands of poems, book of Old Welsh poetry, and heavily in the quatrain forms. I was really surprised. Welsh poetry is very complicated. You know, like it's syllabic, and it has this bardic heritage. You know, and they would apprentice. You know, someone would apprentice with this bard, and there are all these rules about not just end rhyme, but internal rhyme, and you know, like and whether or not you know. Where alliteration could be used, and where you know all these kinds of things, very very highly structured. Those kinds of structures like alliteration are called kingathet. You know, like and people would you know apprentice with a bard, and they would spend years, you know, like getting these various approaches to forming a line correct, and yeah, it felt really overwhelming to me. Like it's just like, but on the other hand, I am I'm a quarter Irish and I'm a quarter Manx. So do people know Manx, the Isle of Man? It's an island in the Irish Sea between England and Ireland, you know, like. And after a lot of work, I eventually started writing in some of these forms. They're called Englin, and the plural is Englinion. What I'd like to start out, though, is with a melody from the Isle of Man. This is not one of my melodies for the poetry, but it's just sort of to set the mood. Okay, so it's called Aranya Gelbe. Here we are in the Celtic myth on the Isle of Man, but it's a Welsh form, so it's not. It's Celtic, though, so that's good enough. Close enough. Now, this was a really interesting experience for me. I struggled with these forms, and like I say, at first, it was kind of overwhelming. And I had to, at one point I had to recognize that some of the regulations were kind of like trying to do Chinese tones in English. You know, like some of them are really, really embedded in the Welsh language. You know, like they rely on features of this Celtic language in order, which are available, you know, like, but they aren't particularly available in English. You know, like, so I had to let them go, but I kept trying to write in these forms, and then a melody appeared for the particular form, and the melody is la da 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 da. And then I could write them. Yeah, like that. Then it clicked. Then I was able to write them. So here are some of the. This particular Englin form is called Englin Unodal Union. Brewing morning coffee in the kitchen. In the window, I see a garden that is thirsty. The wind blows dust towards the tree. All the leaves of the oak tree twist and excuse me, all the leaves of the oak trees bend and twist. In the mist, I can see the future there before me as in a mirror darkly. Nature nourishes and also threatens. It slyly beckons us. A garden that flourishes. A pearl that soon perishes. This one is called One Thing That Happens in Old Age. People support each other. They want friends. At the end of summer, we seek help. We seek shelter. Hands that are joined together. Brewing morning coffee in the kitchen, in the window I see fall leaves of a maple tree, red and gold in harmony. This one's called Dream Interpretation. I had a dream that came like a warning, the morning cold to spike, lost on a wilderness hike, campfire embers shed no light. At the corner cafe, the sunlight's warm. Last night's storms far away. In the wind, bare branches sway. The earth herself begins to pray.
Mm-hmm. Does the book show, like, for instance, you say this is the Welsh influence, or do we just have to remember?
No, it's you can find it in the table of contents.
Good.
This is called Embarkation. A quiet night, nothing urgent to do. To dreamland I am lured. A half full moon, no wind stirs. Songs from other lands I've heard. A bear wanders down the road into town. Onto ground he wanders. While in the stars he pondered why humanity flounders. At night I travel to the land of dreams. It seems so real and grand. I awake and understand what seems real resembles sand. Brewing morning coffee in the kitchen, in the window I see bare branches of the oak tree while the wind blows ceaselessly. Sunlight on a cold day in the cafe. I would stay, I would pay for a seat for the whole day. A new song begins to play. The cold of January starts the year, marks the year's first queries. Who will die? Who will marry? What burdens must I carry? Praying for those who have died as dusk falls, silence calls, chants subside, visions from the other side, messages from our kind guides. On a winter night when there is no moon and no wind stirs the air, clarity beyond compare, vastness that dispels despair. Brewing morning coffee in the kitchen. In the window I see a blossoming cherry tree. Children laughing and carefree. This is called The Night It Began. Country Western tunes on the radio and the long ago moon. While a warm wind softly crooned, we both knew love would bloom soon. No customers in the store the last hour. Quiet hours I've longed for. When I'm content, don't need more, I close the shop. Lock the door.
One more sale.
So that was my first book of Englinion. Any comments or questions? No. The syllabic shape, for those who are interested, is 10, 6, 7, 7. So it starts out with a long line, then shrinks a little bit, and then comes back up. And the last word of the first line has to rhyme with a word in the middle of the second line. Mm-hmm. And a word that's in a certain place in the first line, but not the end, becomes the end rhyme for the next three. So what that creates is a kind of resonance or jangling effect to the form. It reminds me a lot of Bob Dylan, the way Bob Dylan writes lyrics. He'll use end rhyme, and then he'll take that end rhyme, and then he'll, in the next line, he'll use it as in the middle of the next line of his song. It has a very similar effect.
Are there any rules about the number of syllables and words?
The number of syllables is 10, 6, 7, 7.
So not per word. There was some form that you used where you could only use monosyllabic words.
Right, that was Chinese, but that's not true in...
But there are no rules about the number of syllables in this format.
No, there aren't. Other questions or comments?
I got a question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're saying you're exploring different, should we say, different types of quadrants, but it sounds like, I mean, other than Japan, I mean, how did all the various countries, I mean, is there the evolution? I mean,
that's my biography. You know, like, I studied in Korea and Japan, you know, like, and I can't remember when I first encountered Cold Mountain, you know, like, the Chinese poet Cold Mountain, who was a Tang Dynasty poet, 800s, I believe, and ever since I had encountered Cold Mountain, I was very attracted to Chinese poetry. You know, I did not study in, China, you know, like, so I've only known Chinese poetry in translation. A lot of translations of Chinese poetry into English, in my opinion, are very misleading, you know, because traditional Chinese poetry is formal. It's syllabic, and it rhymes, and there's also parallelisms that are required, you know, like, and a lot of translations do not show any of those aspects. You know, like, and so it took me quite a while to finally find some works that were able to sort of open up these structural elements, you know, which I think are very beautiful. You know, like, I think they mm-hmm. have a lot to offer. You know, like, I'm trying to find a quatrain by Cold Mountain. Yeah. Most of Cold Mountain's poems are 8 lines. But he wrote a significant number of quatrains as well. Let's see if I can find one quickly. Oh, well, here's his last one. It's kind of, whoever has Cold Mountain's poems is better off than those with sutras. Write them up on your screen and read them from time to time. So he's patting himself on the back there, which is kind of nice. And let's see.
So they didn't match the sutras.
Yeah, I guess not. Oh, here's a... Buddhist monks don't keep their precepts. Taoist priests don't take their pills. Count the sages who have lived. All are at the foot of hills. Yeah. So he got the rhyme in that translation. Red Pine. Red Pine really tries to do it. It's very, very difficult, you know, when you're translating from Chinese to English. But occasionally he's able to actually bring out the rhyme scheme, you know, like in some of Cold Mountain's poems. I think that is really skillful, you know, like, to be able to do that. You know, but you have to want to do that. You know, you have to develop an ear, and you have to have a sense that there's meaning in that form. You know, for the Chinese, the form had a heritage and a meaning and a cultural significance. You know, like, so. A few more Englund. The sound of a guitar in the warm night. The delight of the stars. So bright they seem close, not far. A balm for our inner scars. In summer heat, the woodland creek runs dry. Sometimes I try to speak, but the words that I seek are like dust that was concrete. Waves of autumn sunlight on the river deliver such a sight. Gold and red leaves shine so bright, like an angel's wings in flight. The Russian River flows into the sea. I see the sunset close, one more day of common woes. Gold leaves fall on a red rose. So give the melody, you know, that's behind this. The Russian River flows into the sea. I see the sunset close. One more day of common woes. Gold leaves fall on a red rose. In a dream, I am standing on the moon, and quite soon, slow and grand, the earth rises, and I can see the earth with one slow scan. That's an actual dream I had. I like that. The stream flows past the snow-covered boulders. I am older and slow, the sound of a distant crow, like a lantern's fading glow. The full moon has not gone down when I start. I depart, and the ground looks like silver, like a crown of starlight. Silence, no sound. It's my morning walk. Mm. In the open grotto of emptiness, a vastness, a hollow, crossing the sky, a swallow casts a fast-moving shadow. Mm-hmm. So those are some of my Englund. The collections in here are they're either by form or they're by topic. Like the first two sections are about my Quaker practice. Like, and there's also a section in here of my, I call it agitations, it's political observations, editorial comments, opinions about this and that. And I'd like to close with a collection called Close Encounter. And I was inspired by Menashe to try my hand at very, very, very short lines, very, very short lines. But then it clicked for me. Well, you know, you could apply this quatrain form to longer lines too, a syllabic approach. So these are eight syllable lines. You know. I want to lead a simple life with just a few obligations. Instead, there's constant to and fro, unfocused peregrinations. Wind blowing the leaves of the trees by the road stretched across July, a tarot reader spreads her deck while dolphins between the clouds glide. I don't mind having discussions with those with whom I disagree. If I'm right or wrong is nothing measured against eternity. Some things are known only by love and not by any other means. Without the heart, one remains blind to many things which can't be seen. So that's called anepistemology. Rocks are hovering in the sky. A riot takes place in silence. In the mirror that's made from wood, I see a hidden vein of good. Gathered silence is the reason that I go to Quaker meeting. Together we turn to the Lord, the one thing that is not fleeting. Theologians drive me crazy with all of their categories. It's enough to make me despair. All their talking masks God's glory. I would live this way forever in a hermitage all alone. Immersed in the presence of God, I have discovered my true home. I remember a time of love. It happened many years ago. Angels crossed the face of the moon as the quince blossomed in the snow. Into the silent land I'll walk, a tracker of the signs of love. Into the land that leaves no trace, there to be reborn from above. One Monday, while I was walking, an angel came and spoke to me. He told me I should not worry, that everything's as it should be. Mm. Closing questions or observations? Or? Yeah.
So, at the beginning you talked about quatrains being self-contained units of four lines,
uh-huh.
and then collections of stanzas of four lines, and I didn't hear stanzas of four lines, I mean the collections of stanzas of four lines from your oeuvre. Are there such critters?
No, I have not written quatrain stanza poems. All of my quatrains are individual poems. And then I would bring them together. The collections that are based on a common form, I would put them, I spent a lot of time putting them in a sequence, which they kind of link, either by mood or by place, like the Russian River or something like that.
But you're disinclined to write a longer set of stanzas, what I'm hearing you say.
I've tried several times, and it does, you know, I have written long poems. I've written long rengas, for example,
mm-hmm.
and sestinas. Mm-hmm. I love sestinas. You know. And I'm not sure, but I'm very attracted to this. There's something to me very complete about this four-line form, you know. Like, and I really like it, and it always feels enough to me at the end of the four lines.
Got it.
Other questions or observations? Well, thank you very much.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You very much. That
was
a lovely way to spend
an evening. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you on behalf of Many Rivers, of course, and thank you all for coming tonight. I forgot to put out the bowl, but I will put out the Donna bowl, the donation bowl, shortly, so you can make contributions to help support our speaker and our space for further such things. And of course, look at the wealth of work, almost all by our speaker tonight, sitting over here on the table for your perusal as you head out the door, including, of course, Viking with Quatrain Range. For some reason, Jim set it behind the other volumes here, but it's there.
It's
hiding, and there are multiple copies, enough, and I have more. So everyone could buy one tonight. Feel free to do so. Thank you all for coming.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Thank you.
If somebody wants the music for the melodies, I have them here. You know, if you know, as a handout, just let me know. I'll be happy to give them to you.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for coming. It's good to see you.
See you in a few days.
See you in a few days. That's right.
For translator, thinking someone named Whalen.
Yeah, Philip Whalen.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. He was.
Did he translate?
No, he was not a translator. He was a poet.
No, I'm not. There was. I'm going to have to go look at it.
Kenneth Rexroth?
No, I'm not thinking of the poet, but a translator of Chinese words.
Yes, he was at Columbia.
Like
he was at
years
Columbia.
Ago,
yeah.
And I think it's... Yeah. I'm going to look it up. I just wondered, because the translation is so different.
They really are. Yeah. It's John, who's the translator of Chinese at Columbia University? We wanted to say Whalen, but that isn't it.
Do we have him?
Yeah, no, you're familiar with him.
Yeah, I forget his name. We have his book here.
I wonder if he's still like... Held so predominantly.
Actually,
he
is.
He
translates both Chinese and Japanese.
Uh-huh.
And he's lived in Japan for many, many years.
Yeah.
He did a translation of Burton Watson.
Oh, you're thinking of Burton Watson?
I'm thinking of Burton Watson. You're not thinking of Burton Watson.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Burton Watson is just, I'm going to have to kind of browse on the internet.
I mean, Burton Watson was a famous translator like the Zhuangzi and the Tao Te Ching.
Lotus Sutra.
And
but not poetry.
Kind of yeah.
He did some poetry.
I remember him.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
Just in front of
you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very lovely.
Good.
Here.
Good.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
His book, when you learn to explain what happens to me for this day in my life, I do stick for a lot of the rhythms. How did you do it first?
Good.
Well, I cannot help myself.
All right. Just let it, let go of any inhibitions.
Did it make you so tired?
A little bit. Let me just, I think you can be it some, as long as I'm.
So this is the one.
It's the one behind it. Wait. Oh, I bet it's that way. Oh, she's so cute.
Oh,
very
nice, girl.
Hi.
Carl, I saw your
mom.
There you go.
Yeah, I did too.
It's lovely. It's unless you have to get one from the front. Jim, that was wonderful.
Thank you, Bruce.
Really, really wonderful. Except, you know what? You misunderstand something. A lot of those things take time, and so when you read them like that quickly, it's like my mind can't switch as quickly.
It's a little slower.
A lot slower. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Give us a chance to absorb it a little.
All right. Yeah.
It's really beautiful poetry.
Oh, I would love to hear for hours that the thought, the chant,
uh-huh.
and the poem,
yeah.
and the chant,
uh-huh.
and the poem.
Oh, that's
it's so.
So that's your next
beautiful.
Project, Jim. You have to
do it. Oh my gosh! I was in the list.
All right.
A CD?
Right.
No, but that's not the same.
Nobody's
that's the true
CDs
voice.
Anymore.
No, you want the true voice.
Rather than
iTunes.
iTunes
download. iTunes. I can
do
iTunes.
I can do
iTunes. Now that I have bought your book, I wonder if you would like to sign it.
I would love to.
Thank you. I see you have a pen there.
I do. In your name?
Well, I'm going to give it as a gift, actually. I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to give it as a gift because I'm
okay.
too stingy.
So, more general.
Yeah, I'm something general. Yeah, I don't think I could give it away without reading it.
Here we are.
Because I had written it in my reminders and yeah, earlier in the day.
Yeah. You've written lots of haiku. That's minimalist.
I have a response.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll to finish what you're doing.
I had no idea you were a poet. I just think of you as the tea man.
Yeah.
I was waiting for one of these to be just about tea, but, you know, the coffee appears just as often.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what's...
My haiku are much more wordy, much more
I've read a lot
than a lot of English language haiku poets. So much territory. English language haiku poets tend to develop a peculiar syntax, you know, like, well, they'll drop articles and prepositions and
right.
things like that. And I don't like it feeling in that game. I'm not, I mean, I understand what people do, and I curse them, you know, and it's really good, but it doesn't speak to me. You know, like, and, so when I write a haiku, I want my haiku to read like standard English.
Right.
You know, like, I want all the articles
to read. I
absolutely agree with you. That's
so that's the difference.
That helps. Help Carl.
Oh, Jim, this was wonderful.
I'm so glad you were able to come.
I just
loved
you.
Yeah, well, the whole scene is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you continue to create. Well, you don't need to take pictures by a camera or paint. I can see through the rhythm, and I can just see it. And yet there's the scene and also the wisdom of it.
Make it fuller and more detailed. I thought that was interesting. Did I say that right, Jim? Oh, you
I'm sure you did, Bruce.
Thank you very much. Wonderful.
I have a favorite of you two readings, and Maggie had the same feeling. The last word in the poems you dropped.
Oh, I did? I'm so sorry.
Okay. Just want to say it for the future.
Yes,
I hope you don't mind.
I do not mind. I appreciate it.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Okay. Now you bring it back.
To and fro, that's our life of many words. It's the way the Stoic reads.
That's true.
Or at least that's one way.
Is this your jacket?
Oh, yes. I have.
Okay, I want to make sure it wasn't somebody who's already left.
Thank you for checking.
So we're getting these two books here?
Yes.
And not that guy.
Yeah, I just wanted to listen.
You were just curious about it, yeah. Well, you can come and listen.
Oh, thank you.
Always a pleasure to see you, Mimi.
Always a pleasure to see you. It really
isn't
it? Yeah.
I think so.
It was very good.
I agree.
Very, very good.
Close.
Rob, this needs to be more this way, right?
Yes. Decidedly.
Oh, so you don't have the neck note?
No, I'm afraid we don't. Our person who does it, Gratis, is so busy that she's having a little delay. It will happen, but
you have it on your website.
It's on the website. Right. It's all on the website. So that at least she did. She was able to get to it. But the printed one, not yet. A class, Jim, with
what?
The music. I actually think you could teach a class integrating the music and the poet, you know, the language.
Oh, yeah?
I think people would find that very, very helpful and enjoyable.
Thank you.
It really would be very helpful. Or just to hear it, you know, it's like...
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, CD. He's not wanting to take that job on.
Well, yeah, and the thing is... It doesn't have the essence of the true noise or the true music, but you know.
It has something.
It has something.
It has something that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, did you turn off the recorder? A lot of extra.
Oh, yes, you have a lot of extra
sound at the end.